WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Doug Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator K237FJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W300BP, 107.9, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station. It's time for the Tom Ceratori Show on the Beaver Radio Network.
That's Mac Wolf shoots, scores! Kyle Lowe from the high slot! Took the pass on a backhand from Owen Sillinger. He beats Driscoll.
Every Wednesday night, get all the info you need to know about the next game.
Launch went ahead looking for Weissenen. It was deflected by Northern Michigan. Weissenen goes and tracks it down. He'll leave it now for Owen Sillinger. Back up top it comes. Brad Johnson with a shot. He scores! It was deflected out in front. Deflected, I believe, by Austin Jopie.
Get the insight from the man behind the bench. He's played here. He's coached here. He and Bob Peters are Beaver Hockey. The Tom Ceratori Show, live at the Tavern on the South Shore, on the radio home for Beaver Hockey since day one of the Division I era. We are the Beaver Radio Network.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Tom Ceratori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. We are not at the Tavern tonight. The Gold Trotters are right next door.
So when in doubt, go to the brewery.
Exactly.
Good call.
Heck of an idea, Tom.
Thank you, Schultzy. I appreciate that.
Congratulations on the win last week in the semis, Tom.
Thanks, Schultzy. Big win. Big win for the Beavs.
Score looked like a butt kick, and that was not. That game got blown open in a hurry there in that third period. When did you start feeling comfortable?
4-1.
With zeros?
No, 4-1. 4-1, I felt pretty good. You know, I did. I felt pretty good at 4-1. You know what? It's going to happen. And but still, it was 3-1, no way. 4-1, I mean, obviously, we had a three-goal lead, and we felt pretty good on the bench. And I think there was like four minutes and change left. So I did feel pretty good at that particular point. Are you resting easy? No, not a chance. But I was feeling pretty good.
How cool was just that atmosphere again? Because I don't know if we've been in an atmosphere like that pre-COVID, since before COVID. I mean, where it was that electric.
Yeah, it was. There was a good – I thought it was pretty good when we were there a month ago. You know, and 5-6 weeks ago, I thought it was too. It was very, very similar. I mean, they just have the same crowd, the same atmosphere, the same electricity every week, and it's fun. It's just – the band is just great. The fans – they love their hockey. It's just a fun place, Schultz. And as you know too, where you're calling the game, it's a great spot to call the game. It's got to be. I'm asking you this now, Schultz. You love calling the game there? Those steep sight lines, those grid sight lines.
I got to lean forward just a little bit to see the near wall.
Okay.
Other than that, yeah, it's perfect.
I mean, I just love looking up in the crowd there. To be honest with you, just. You know, those steep seats. And, we've talked about it a lot. It's just it's a fun place. And I think any Beaver hockey fan, you got to make that road trip. That's the one thing. I told my wife that, too. She hasn't been there yet. She's been to most places. But, actually, she hasn't been to any place in the UP. But, you know, definitely, I think you got to go to Tech.
Well, I thought you guys started the game real strong. It was obviously a tight game through two periods of play, but I thought you guys played really well out of the chute, which kind of helped, I think, at least from a fan perspective watching, give you peace of mind that, man, they've got every bit of a chance to win this one on the road. And I thought you were the better team in the first 20 minutes.
Biss, I can't sit there and say I disagree with you, because I felt pretty comfortable on the bench is what I'm getting at. I liked our start. I liked our pace. I liked our defensive play. I liked we were playing on the right side of the puck. I just thought we had good intensity. I liked the feel on the – a lot of times it's the feel on the bench too. You're looking at the guys, and it just – I had a good vibe. I had a darn good vibe. I was proud of the guys, but it just – It's just you're one mistake from being down, and they scored the first goal, and then we responded. Lucas responded not too far later, and at the end of the day, though, it's these elimination games, one and dones, whatever you want to call them. You're one mistake from playing catch up hockey, so It's always a little hairy. It's always a little dicey. But I felt our guys, too. I just thought they played with a pretty mature mentality.
I'm guessing you feel pretty comfortable when you look at that final stat sheet. Your top line's got 8 points.
You were dialed in, weren't they? Holy moly.
Nice to have.
Yeah, no, they played good. They were really, really good. And
got me thinking. Matt Reed, Tyler Schofield, Matt Francis against Notre Dame, Cornell, Miami, you know that stretch. Just a dominant line.
Yep.
This line is at least in the conversation with that line, are they not?
Absolutely.
I mean, you take that's a look, elite company that you're in right now.
You take a look at those numbers. I mean, Owen Lucas and Icy have. I mean, you can do the math. I'm trying to go back. Reeder, I think, had 41 points that year. 41, I think it was. That was the year he had 41.
Right.
And Schofield probably close to. I think he had close to 40. And Franny didn't go on that line till I can't remember if it was halfway through the year or one, you know. But I don't know what Franny had for points. I don't even know. You can look if you want to get your stats going, Schultz. Yeah, I'm going to say Franny had mid to high 20s, maybe 30.
And then you've got obviously Lucas and Owen and Alex who've got more than that probably combined points.
Well, I mean, like Icy's at 40 something.
Yeah, he'd have the record.
Lucas
if it wasn't
has 35.
For
Lucas
Owen.
Has 35 or 30. I don't look at it as much as you think I look at that stuff. I don't that much. But
Matt Reed, 15 goals, 25 assists, 40 points.
Okay.
Tyler Schofield, 22 goals, 17 assists, 39 points.
Okay, I was spot on there.
Brad Hunt, 9-23 for 32. Franny, 13-13, 26.
There you go.
Yeah, you're
I was
right.
Pretty close. Yeah. I knew it was pretty close. So you're talking. You're talking 79, basically about 105 points. And what are these? Icy and Owen and Lucas. Lucas says 35, 36. Icy's got to be sitting at 41, 42, isn't he? And then Owen's at 47 probably.
Owen, 17, 30, 47. Alex Iarullo, 16, 26, 42. Yeah, he would have beaten Matt Reed too.
Yeah.
Lucas Sillinger, 17, 21, 38.
And Elias
7-19-26.
So we're 127
points. Yeah,
pretty
similar.
Yeah. Well, more. Yeah.
But, I mean, that is just incredible. I mean, to get that in the big-time games, that's, I mean, obviously you want your good go-to players to show up on the big stage, and they certainly have done that for you here in this playoff stretch.
Darn right. Darn right they have. I'm happy for those guys, proud of them, and no.
In that losing streak, nobody was scoring.
That's how it goes, though, Schultz. So, that's why it was a losing streak.
Yeah, it's usually the way it is.
If you didn't have a losing streak, where would those guys be? Yeah. You know, just at their point-per-game numbers right
well,
now.
Well, even if it was just moderate. Like, if it was just 3 points a game or 4 points. I'm talking as a line. I get what you're
not
saying.
Eight.
If I, yeah, not eight.
Nah. I still cannot believe that first goal, though, by Lucas. He was facing the right corner.
It was a pretty, you know, when you said that to me, I looked, I go, Schultz, you're right. Really good body control. Really good body control.
A goalie can't be thinking he's shooting from there.
Well, and that's why it looked to me like he wasn't expecting it.
He wasn't. So you're spot on. Like, he wasn't. And was he he had to be partially screened. Plus, I don't think he was expecting it. And Lucas was, I mean, Lucas can do this, but Lucas was in a tough spot to get that shot off. But he got it off. And no doubt, Pietilagat was handcuffed. And I think, again, I think unexpectedly, he didn't think it was coming. He was probably partially screened. And anyway, good for the Beavs.
Yeah, so big goal.
Did you ask Elias Rosen if that was an
no, but
play?
There's no way. I didn't have to. No, that was just a low to high shot. And, Icy just happened to be Johnny on the spot in the right area.
Boy, it seemed like the passing for both teams, probably because of the defense, was off a little bit the first couple periods. But your passing in the third period is what, to me, really stood out. I mean, you guys were tape to tape on a lot of those, what ended up to be obviously goals.
Well, yeah, it was. You got two teams who, I mean, we haven't been as proficient defensively this year as we'd like, obviously, but we have been lately, and we've been stingy. I like where we're at. They're so good defensively. I mean, it's just the way it is. They are so good defensively. We were good. I mean, that was playoff hockey. There wasn't a lot of easy ice. There wasn't a lot of scoring chances. Quite honestly, at times from a fan's perspective, it might have been a little ho-hum from the standpoint of there wasn't, like, there wasn't scoring chances galore. There wasn't power plays. I mean, what was it, two power plays? So at the end of the day, though, but it was really good hockey, tactical hockey from a playoff perspective. Guys play, both teams played the right way. We just happened to catch a few breaks and had a few more opportunities, or were fortunate enough maybe to take advantage of our opportunities at 7.5 minutes to go, and whatever. But overall, it was one of those games where it was just, yeah, you weren't seeing. I don't think, Schulze made some big saves, so did Pietla, but overall, it wasn't like these guys were overworked, because I think, again, it was pretty stingy hockey both ways.
To me, those first two periods flew by. There weren't a lot of faceoffs.
Schulze, you were spot on. Brady Johnson comes to the bench one time, and I think there was 8-9 minutes to go. I think it was the second period. He goes, Tom, that's the first TV timeout, just so you know. I go, what? He goes, yes. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's good hockey, though. I mean, that means you guys are, both teams are moving up and down the ice. And
yeah. Yeah, you're right, Biss. We're up and down the ice, and it's probably the face-offs right at a 15-01 or something like that. You know, yeah. Something like that. Whatever. But I was blown away when Brady said that, because I had no clue where we, you know, I lost obviously track of, you know, where the TV timeouts were, because probably too you get in the zone and you get in the zone of the game is what I'm getting at.
Well, you called your timeout real early. I remember that, right? First period.
Yeah, with a minute five, minute six to go. Yeah, I didn't want to burn it, but I felt I had to.
You can't get away with that in the regular season without every goal automatically reviewed, can you?
What do you mean?
Well, you can. You just don't get the chance to review.
Are you talking calling my timeout, Schulze?
Yes. Yes.
I still might have done that in the regular season, but maybe not. You know what, Schulze? I don't know if I would have or wouldn't have. It all depends on what the game is for, but probably not. You know what? As I'm thinking about that, I probably wouldn't have called it in the regular season. But it had no bearing, Schulze, on goals being, obviously every goal. They're checking every goal. That wasn't it. It was Bliss's line against our fours. That's what it was. And I just felt, again, I think it would be probably negligent to do that. We better make sure that, it was 1 minute to go in the first.
Right.
Let's get out of the first.
Exactly.
Let's get out of the first zeros. Yeah. Is all I'm getting at.
Exactly.
That's not a good time to let them pot one, you know. So that's kind of where what I was thinking. And I have confidence. I have the utmost confidence in that line too. But I also respect Hallinen and Bliss and Paratino, and they've put up huge numbers. And
yeah. Hallinen's a Hobie finalist for a reason.
Yeah.
The Friday night game at Tech in the regular season, Owen Sillinger won 20 faceoffs. He didn't even take 20 faceoffs last week, and he was sub 500. Were they doing anything different because he took him to school in the regular season?
Not really. I didn't ask the guys. Sometimes it's just the moment. It's just the moment. And sometimes, you know what, you're dialed in. Sometimes the other guy's dialed in. Owen was better the second period. The first period, he was
2-8 or something
like that. Yeah, I don't know what it was. But the second period, he was a lot better.
He is so dang good, though.
Well,
yeah.
That's why you're just so expect used to him to win stand 20. Out. Yeah, it's like 2-8. Wait a minute. Is he feeling okay today? But it is. It's. I mean, each faceoff, its own animal.
Yeah.
The Beavers will head to Minnesota State Mankato this weekend. Take on the Mavericks. From what I am understanding, BSU's allotment of tickets as of this morning was like the few that were left. If you went to the box office in Mankato today to get tickets, you were not going to be very successful.
Good.
So this could be an even more electric atmosphere coming up this weekend in Mankato. We'll talk about that. Also, rewind to the last last conference championship game. Matt Reed tried to climb the glass when he scored the winning goal.
Oh, my gosh. Is that the last one?
It's when we come back. The Tom Cerruteri Show, a special edition tonight from Bemidji Brewing. They do have a new beer out. It's called Dark Mild, just in time for St. Patrick's Day. It is an English dark beer. From what I hear, very malty, very, very flavorful, just in time for St. Paddy's Day tomorrow.
I'll give it a try.
All right. It's the Tom Ceratori Show here from Bemidji Brewing on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, the River.
At Mountain Dew, we believe you shouldn't take everything so seriously. Like, not being able to keep up with all the latest internet memes? Not serious. Not being able to log into your crypto account? Serious. Not being able to remember your partner's favorite color? Kinda serious. Not being able to remember your partner's eye color? Very serious. Making sure you have plenty of Mountain Dew around when you're having a good time? Serious. Borrowing a Mountain Dew from your friend? Not serious. Borrowing one every day? Mountain Dew. The only... is...
Great player, all about using energy wisely. Otter Tail Power Company recognizes Bemidji State University Beavers men's and women's athletics for bringing its energy to the fans listening to live game coverage on the Beaver Radio Network. Teamwork and dedication have brought many rewards over the years. And Otter Tail Power Company encourages you to keep the energy going, Beavers. Best wishes for a memorable season of Bemidji State University sports. Go Beavers! Green Mill invites you to come ashore for their Walleye Fest limited time menu featuring Bang Bang Sauce Drizzled Walleye Bites, Cabillo Lodge Walleye Dinner, and the Walleye Witch, a special walleye sandwich on an egg bun, plus still more special walleye entrees. Also for a limited time, visit Green Mill's Facebook page and enter to win a once-in-a-lifetime fly-out fishing trip to Cabillo Lodge in Ontario. Reel yourself in for a great walleye meal at the Green Mill in Bemidji. Pizza, pasta, beer, and wings. We'll see you at the mill.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, the River.
Welcome back to the Tom Ceratori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. Special show tonight from Bemidji Brewing. The Globetrotters are in town tonight. Good thing for the tavern. They had a lot of reservations for pre-Globetrotter festivities. So, Tom, did you guys get over at the City Rink today, or BCA today?
Yeah, we were at the BCA.
That's right. Yeah,
you guys. It's loud in there, boy. Like the John Glass. It was very similar to the John Glass. Low ceiling.
Yeah. Yeah, how often, I mean, you guys, it seems like this time every year that might happen.
Yeah, a little bit. Not much. So, but I like it. We like going over there if it happens every now and then. I mean, obviously it's not fun being displaced, but it is what it is.
That does remind me of the Frozen Four run.
Yes.
The Home Sport and Travel show was at the John Glass Fieldhouse.
Yeah,
and I will never forget the sight of your players in the backs of pickup trucks, goalies in particular, in full goalie gear. And the backs of pickups driving across town, and how that made the national news of you guys were kicked out of your own rink for a home sport and travel show before the biggest games of the program's history. But let's rewind to that CHA tournament. The win against Robert Morris in the final got you over 500 for the first time all year, correct?
Yes.
Overtime, right circle face-off. 1-2, the heck was his first name? Adams.
Ryan Adams.
Ryan Adams from Wayne State.
Yeah. Good memory.
Gets the puck down low. Matt Reed taps it in. Game over. Matt Dalton trying to climb the glass. Yeah, Matt Reed trying to climb the glass.
The roof almost comes off the place, it seemed.
Did you ever see in the John Glass like that?
It was awesome. Oh, yeah.
A lot, right?
I mean,
it's been rocking like that
when I played too,
for a long time.
Yeah, when I played, like, you know, in the 86 National Championship game, I've seen that the glass a few times. And in North Dakota, I mean, it was humming. I mean, I think what you're probably saying too, Schultze, is probably the magnitude of that particular game. But there was other big games. Like I said, you know, I've played in big games there and I coached in big games there. So that had just as much, if not more, people too. So
pretty iconic, though, the guys climbing the glass. I mean, that's the iconic picture of that
right.
of that time.
I don't know if I've ever seen a hockey player try that before.
Well, and it went to overtime. I mean, man, of course it can't be easy, right? I mean, what do you remember about the game, Tom?
I don't remember a ton about it, Biz, and that's what I was hoping you guys wouldn't ask. The only thing I kind of remember is that it was a playoff game. Like, when I say that, but it was a playoff game where everybody kind of was playing, you know, not to lose versus trying to play to win. And that happens sometimes. And both teams, by the way. But I think sometimes these games take on, you know, their own life. And I shouldn't say it ended that way. I'm not, when I say ended that way, I think the last half of the game, it opened up a lot more. But the first half was like everybody was kind of tiptoeing around and taking care of the puck and just making sure there wasn't a lot of mistakes. And then eventually I think everybody settled in. But I that's the one thing I do remember. Like, you could tell that both teams were, I don't want to use the word nervous, but they were just playing a little different.
Am I remembering correctly, Robert Morris was here the last week of the regular season and just stayed?
You know what, Schultz, I don't remember.
Like, you're right.
You might be right. I mean,
I think Schooley came to the ground round.
Very easily could have been that way. And we should have schools on right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. I remember them sticking around for a whole – it's like, oh, they might as well just stay, right? Why go back and forth?
Yeah. Well, you guys, good memories.
Crazy. And then, I mean, did that – maybe set up Notre Dame to overlook your guys or what? I mean, again, people forget. I mean, you made the run, but you weren't dominant in the CHA by any means.
But still, college hockey doesn't matter the best. I mean, St. Thomas almost beat Mankato.
Yeah.
St. Thomas almost beat, like, it's hockey. We all know that. It's a sport we love. Nothing surprises. There's not a big difference in teams.
Well, I certainly felt at least Notre Dame and Wisconsin a year ago, they did not do their homework.
I don't know.
Like, they just were not prepared for you guys.
Well, I think they did do their homework. I think maybe the team they played, you know.
Had something to do with that?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that puck pressure, you can study all you want until you're facing it in real life. I mean,
that's what's the difference between teams. Everybody, I got about a half an inch between my fingers. I mean, that's what it is. So, I mean, that's the difference.
Did you feel like that win could do something for you? Two weeks later?
No, I didn't think anything like that. We don't dig that deep into these things. I mean, we're just so happy to be in the tournament, and then you worry about the tournament when you get into the tournament. But I'm not sitting here saying, "Oh, that's going to, you know, jumpstart us to this or that." I mean, we don't think that way is what I'm getting at. But we played well the end of the year, though. I'm talking like the last couple of months, we played pretty good. We started out, we were struggling. It was October was tough on us, and so was November. So it was tough on us. We got annihilated. We got annihilated
in Air Force,
and that was two butt kickings.
And Mankato, you know, in October. I remember that.
I'm used to packing up quickly Saturdays on the road. Let's just say I had a lot of time to wait until everyone started coming out of the locker room that day.
Attacking Air Force?
Yes.
I know it. I had a meeting. I still remember the meeting. I don't talk too much after a game, but very rarely. Win, lose, or anything, I just don't. But, we had a little, that was interesting.
Interesting day. I mean, you must have known what caliber team you had and the disappointment that they weren't playing up to their abilities, right? I mean, obviously you see that at the end of the year, what a great team they were, but it doesn't always translate every game.
Hockey's nuts, and I don't want to – I always probably put hockey on a pedestal. But then the reason I do – hockey's crazy because it's such a long season. And that's why when you have long seasons, I always say there's three seasons in one. There's a season where it's like you're doing everything right. There's a part of the season you're not doing anything right. And then there's a part you're just trying to figure things out. And that's the way it is more times than not.
I would say without a doubt the two most successful CHA tournaments were the one here and the one in Grand Rapids.
Absolutely.
And I also feel safe in assuming that none of the other teams wanted to come here.
No, they didn't.
You think?
There were some harsh words in some of our meetings when we brought that up, by the way.
Was that because of your success at home,
I think,
or just
a combination
the fact that they didn't want to give you any extra life because you already had enough?
You hit it on the head, Schultz. See, there was a little bit of, now we're going to let Bemidji, you know, we're all going to travel there. you know, to that area. But it is what it is. I mean, we drew the best, and we had good teams, and it is what it is. But there was some, you know, some guys were great. There were some coaches that were just adamantly against it, and we won out, and with votes and everything else. But anyway, that's a long time ago.
It is a long time
that's ago. That's a long time ago that we had that drama, you know, in a league. And, oh, yeah, we had good drama.
Fast forward to now where, I mean, you're almost guaranteed it's going to be a great atmosphere in the semis in the championship because you reseed and the highest home seed on campus, you know, gets the games, right? That's the
– Well, and the footprint is good. You know, we have a, like the footprint was awful with that.
Yeah.
You know, you had a couple teams that were close to each other, but then you had – You know, when Air Force was in the league, Air Force was over here. But then they left the league. But then you had, you know, you had Bobby Moe and you had Niagara. But then you had Huntsville down here. Then you have the Beavs. And then you have Wayne. Like, I don't know, you just,
yeah.
It is what it is. But, boy, you look back and those were some fun times, weren't they, guys?
Yeah, they were. Although you guys were on the plane a lot. A lot more
all
than
the time.
But we were just, we were all... I mean, at the end of the day, it was just the beginning. It was just the beginning. That's what happened.
Happy to be playing D1 hockey, right?
It was just the way it was, and you didn't overthink things, and you just did what you know. You just went where you're supposed to go and play the game, and you know we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun looking back at those days, and you know those guys who come back, those players who come back, they've got such fond memories of you know the trips, the food, you know the Como, or just everything.
How did Kearney and Des Moines ever come about as sites for the tournament?
We were on a neutral zone, our neutral site kick. We were on a mega neutral site kick. And so what we did with the neutral site kick, we said, well, the USHL draws well. They've got fan bases in these areas, blah, 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 blah. And we thought we could piggyback on their fan bases, and it never worked out.
Quirky story here.
That's when we had Finley. Not that I'm shooting you down here, Schultz. And you just hold your thought. But you know the Kearney. We had Finley. That's when we had Finley. We had Air Force. I think we had Bobby Moe. We had Niagara. I think we had six teams then, didn't we? Maybe even seven. I mean, it was maybe six.
And there was a few years at Kearney, wasn't there?
Yes, I think there was two. I think it was two, Biss.
Yeah.
I think it was two.
The last one in Kearney. I was at home in Brainerd. Picking it up on satellite, watching the championship game.
CSTV had that.
And
what, like premonishing that you're going to be the play-by-play guy for Beaver hockey in the future or what?
Little did I know, a month later, I apply for this job.
That's crazy. That was Sean.
That is crazy, Schultz.
Sean's last gig?
Yeah.
That was, I think that was...
03.
Yeah, Luke Erickson's last year.
Luke Erickson was first year was 04.
Luke Erickson's last year was the one in Des Moines.
Yeah, you're right.
07.
You're right, yeah, okay.
I still remember talking to Luke after the game.
Yeah.
At the hotel in Des Moines.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he was the rookie of the year in 2004 okay. of our league.
I'll not kid you, Tom. I'm watching this going,
that's crazy.
There's nobody there. Why are they playing in Kearney?
I can't believe you were watching.
No, we were just trying to figure some things out. We really were on a neutral zone. We were on a neutral site kick. Excuse me. We were on a neutral site kick, and we just thought we could piggyback with the USHL fan base and the markets there, and it just. You know.
I hope the CCHA never has that thought.
No,
I think this current model is perfect.
Yeah.
Unless you find it can, if you can find a home run neutral site, but it's just hard. It's just hard.
I don't think you can.
Not
for
right.
For the league and where it's at. And,
right.
You know.
I think you're right. The only other thing you can do is if you want to do a Final Four at the top seed, you sure can. But if that top seed loses on Friday night.
Crickets. Like last year.
Yes.
It wouldn't have mattered anyway because nobody was there.
No, but that's the downside of it. The downside is that it'll do well if the team that's hosting wins on Friday. But if they don't, then it's a failure. And... Anyway,
I like this. I mean, you get a whole week to prepare. Hype.
I like it too. I like it. My only small, and again, it is what it is. It's not a big deal. I just wish we could have a 2-week tournament, not a 3-week tournament. Mm. I do wish, you know, I do wish that, but it is what it is. If we have this format, it's got to be a 3-week tournament,
right.
Guys.
Yep.
So, and I think it is the right model. So, it is what it is.
I can't believe that's the last time you were in a playoff game.
It's hard to get to that game.
Yeah, I know, obviously. That's
I don't care who
drives
you are.
On the point. You won the McNaughton Cup. You finished second in the league a bunch of times. Made the national tournament. But it just drives home how difficult it is to make it through the playoffs.
Hard winning championships, guys. It's hard winning championships.
Well, we will segue into that when we come back. The Beavers will head to Minnesota State Mankato this weekend to take on the Mavericks Saturday, a single championship game. Budweiser pregame show Saturday afternoon at 5:30. I can say Saturday afternoon now because it's still sunny and daylight out.
Oh, it's beautiful. Oh, my gosh.
Till almost, 7:30, 8 o'clock
now?
Yeah,
the melt is on.
Loving it. More of the Tom Ceratori Show, a special show tonight from Bemidji Brewing. Stop in for their new beer for St. Patrick's Day. It's called Dark Mild. Reading the chalkboard. Malty, toasty, nuts, dank fruit. It's supposed to be an English kind of dark beer.
Well, I have a stout. So this
that
is
should be fairly
similar, right?
Yes.
A little. I'm going to give it a
that
shot here.
That should work. We're
it's
at
busy.
Bemidji Brewing tonight for the Tom Ceratori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
You've trained for this all year. Endless hours of cardio, conditioning, and weights. And now you are ready. Ready to trek back to your seat from the concession stand. Through the lines, lost fans, and that mascot who wants you to do a little dancey dance, all without spilling a drop of your ice-cold Bud Light. Welcome back to football, sports fans.
The teams are set for the big college basketball tournament, and now is the time to get into win with the Pick It March Mania Challenge from Paul Bunyan Communications. It's free and easy to play. Just go to paulbunyan.net to sign up and make your picks before the first tournament games start this Thursday. You could win up to a $500 credit on your Paul Bunyan Communications account. So get in the game with the Pick It March Mania Challenge from Paul Bunyan Communications.
Experience light when and where you want it with Hunter Douglas window treatments from Sterling Carpet One. Our PowerView system lets you move your shades according to schedules you set, day or night, whether you're home or away. Available in colors and fabrics to suit your style. Hunter Douglas, live effortlessly.
You dream, we design. Sterling Carpet One.
Ah, the taco. Is there anything more delightfully simple and delicious? At Taco John's, we think not. There's a reason more people choose our crispy beef tacos. That's because we cook each crispy shell fresh in-house every day, then fill it with our signature 100% American beef, mild sauce, lettuce, and cheese. Five classic ingredients. Taco John's loves tacos so much, we not only put it in our name, we gave it a special day. Taco Tuesday. Get seasoned crispy beef tacos for just 99 cents each every Taco Tuesday at Taco John's. Bigger, bolder, better.
Drive through and pick up only at Taco John's.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
Welcome back to the Tom Ceratori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. Special show tonight from Bemidji Brewing. Beaver men's hockey team travels to Mankato this weekend. Saturday championship game against Minnesota State. The Mavericks knocked off Northern Michigan in Mankato. The Beavers knocked off Michigan Tech in Houghton. I'm sure, Tom, that your locker room has a much different mindset than the casual fan who just looked at scores from a few weeks ago. How confident are your guys that 5-1 a couple of weeks ago isn't going to happen?
Well, I think they're confident. Again, we don't talk about these things, but I just think can see it in their – I can just see it just how they're playing. I can just see it in their demeanor. We had a heck of a practice today, but, yeah, they're confident. These guys, they feel good about themselves. The coaching staff feels good. We have a good hockey team. We got good players. And, and these guys, it hasn't been easy for them. I mean, but last couple of weeks – We've flipped a switch in a good way. So
winning elimination games is hard, and you've done now three in a row. That's got to give you a shot in the arm.
Big time.
Yeah.
No, playoffs can playoffs do build. It builds confidence. It just builds. You know what? It builds kind of like, you know what, strength, and it just makes you feel good. And when you do these things, when you win these games, these elimination games, yeah, it does. It puts you in a different mindset and in a positive mindset. And I think again, it's just that's what happens, and that's why you see a lot of teams who win these playoffs, may not have done great during the season, or maybe not won the league or took second or whatever. But what happens is that there's been a period of time where they've been pretty good, and that's. You know, they always say peaking at the right time, but it's just there's a lot that goes into it. And a lot of it is when you're playing, when you're winning games and you're recognizing how you're winning the games, the guys sit there and say, I think I got it figured out. And that helps.
Well, you know what's funny about sports, though? It takes you till game 38 to go, I think I got this figured out.
Well, again, it's just nothing's easy. And every game, again, like I said, every game takes on a different, you know, life of its own. It has its own personality, and the other team always has something to say about it. But no, we're in a good mindset right now, and that's attributed to those players. We got a good bunch of guys right there, and that's attributed to those guys.
Well, obviously, Mankato's been the team to beat in the CCHA, they've done it to everybody, it seems, including you guys. Do you change anything? I mean, you guys have been playing really well, obviously, the last couple of weeks.
When do we change? Nobody changes hardly. You are who you are, and you just got to do what you do well. That's the biggest thing. So, no, you don't change. You just want to do things well. You just want to do things well and good. And, you know, it's all execution. It's skating. It's checking. It's, you know, a lot of things that go into it that I don't want to sit there and get, you know, wishy-washy here. But that's what it is.
Well, I remember you saying after the Mankato series when you got done down there that you were happy with how your team played, despite mm-hmm. it, you know, obviously a 5-1 loss in both nights. But can you explain that a little bit?
Well, yeah, but you're executing. You're playing on the right side of the puck. You're executing. You're getting scoring chances. Just things just aren't clicking for you from the standpoint of scoring goals. Our power play, I thought, was darn good. We had good looks. We had good puck movement. There's just certain things that obviously, again, went wrong. We lost, but I think, again, if you take a look at the whole 120 minutes, there's a lot of positives that come out of it, and that's how you got to look at those things. So,
give them some confidence, because I mean Mankato can be intimidating obviously with the record that they have, but if they've played with them well the last couple of times in their barn, does that help you this weekend?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't necessarily know if it's the, I don't look at the last couple of games in their barn. I take a look at the last couple of games we've played. That's where I'm more concerned sure. about how we played against Tech and Bowling Green and how we came back in St. Thomas. You look at those things, and I think that's the important component right now. I really do.
For the Mavericks, Nathan Smith named the CCHA Forward of the Year. Jake Livingstone, the Defenseman of the Year. And the Goalie of the Year is Ryan McKay. They swept all three. I don't know that I've seen a team do that in any of the leagues you've been in. Certainly deserving for those three.
Oh, absolutely. No, they're good players, boy. Good players. There's a reason they have 34 wins right now.
Yeah.
Well, okay, what does it speak to the league when Owen Sillinger, and we've talked about him already tonight, he's on the second team.
Yeah, I saw that. I couldn't believe it.
What's that say for the league?
Yeah.
That says the league's pretty darn good.
Well, I might have it wrong a little bit. I think 7 or 8 of the top 10 scorers in college hockey. Schulze, fact check me on this one. 7 or 8 of the top 10 scorers in college hockey are from our league.
It was 2 weeks ago, the last I looked. So
yeah. What is Owen, fourth?
I think he's fourth now.
Scoring? Unbelievable. Wow.
But Hallen's got like 20, what's he got, 25 goals? I don't know, something like that.
And you talk to Tech players, and they say that top line has fallen off. I'm like, look at those numbers.
Yeah. Wow. Because what, it was Elias that got first team?
Yeah.
Owen second team. Yep.
And Schulze, rookie.
Matias, rookie of the year.
No, or rookie
goalie,
team.
Rookie team. Okay.
Rookie team.
Certainly three deserving guys for you.
Absolutely.
No. What's the process of how those teams are selected?
We vote.
I'm not going to lie. I like it that we don't have to anymore.
Well, it used to happen. It was crazy. Like sports information, it just you don't know the guys. And here's the thing: we play these guys 4 times, but then you play them sometimes. Obviously, the year before. But the other thing is that which helps, we watch them on video all year. We watch some of these teams 12, 13, 14 times. So we know their personnel. So we should be doing the voting. And that bothered me when we had the media do it, because the media, they're just looking at statistics. And, you know, obviously statistics still are obviously important, but we also, there's other things that we, like when I vote, you can never vote for your own guys. But I also vote for people, or for players, excuse me, that I think that I really respected against us. So we'll, where another coach might just say, you know what, that guy was really good against us, and I really liked the way he played, and that could be somebody totally different against us. So we're not going to, we're not going to just totally just throw spaghetti on the wall and see what sticks. But, they still have to back up their – they have to back up their game a little bit, but there's just a lot of things that go into it, is all I'm getting at.
Well, when you face Mankato now, do you look at the games that the teams that beat them to see what they might have done, or it just?
No, we're just looking at our scouting reports, what we've done against them the last four or five games. No.
What? I'm trying to remember the score of. Their game with Northern last Saturday,
8-1.
But it was close for.
It was 3-1 for a while. I don't even know, Schultz. I haven't dug into it that much. It was 3-1 for a while.
It was.
But I don't know what time it was. That halfway through the second, or is that what it was?
It was like 3-0 about halfway through your game, and they started around the same time, right?
No, there was 1 hour later. Difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it seemed to me, I'm like, oh well, Northern's still in it.
But it was an hour difference, so that's
it didn't last long.
No.
Which Mankato can do. Obviously they can. Don't they have the biggest goals scored versus goals given up in the in the country?
Probably. For the goals for, goals against differential.
Insane those numbers, yeah.
It's bonkers. The regular season, they scored 153 goals.
Yeah. But again, it's hockey on any given night. We've seen teams like that. I remember North Dakota losing to Michigan in the national tournament. The Michigan goalie stood on his head. North Dakota was clearly the better team. I want to say that was Parisi's year, maybe. I forget. But it was unbelievable how, North Dakota threw everything at him, but stood on his head. Michigan wins. End of season for North Dakota.
Minnesota State has scored 165, three more than Denver. Tops in the country. Goals against. Quinnipiac has given up 38. Minnesota State has given up 50.
Crazy.
But Minnesota State has scored 40 more than Quinnipiac has. How do you go through a year giving up 38 goals in 38 games?
He's pretty good on the defensive side of the puck.
Good defense, good goalie.
38. Yikes. I did not see the Mankato games most recently, Tom. I was stuck at home in quarantine. Refresh my memory even what their special teams are like.
Well, their special teams are good. They got a couple power play goals. I think three or four on the weekend. Honest, they have good special teams. They got very good special teams. They got a good balance. They're very well balanced up and down their lineup, and they've got good special teams and good team defense, all those types of things.
Again, the Beavers will play Minnesota State Mankato Saturday. Our Budweiser pregame show at 5:30. Face-off at 6:07 right here on the river. Online, BeaverRadioNetwork.com. A win to the national tournament. Does this feel differently, Tom, than the previous three do-or-die games?
Oh.
That it's kind of the end of the first set of do-or-dies?
Yeah, it does feel. I think, Schultz, it does feel different for me just because we've survived the first couple already, and it feels good, and it feels good to have this opportunity Saturday night. That's how I look at it. We're fortunate to have this opportunity. We earned the opportunity, and it's nice to go down there and let's drop the puck. That's what it is, and because again, it's an up and down year. It's been a little bit of a roller coaster, but. The guys are, again, I said it after the Tech game and the post-game press conference, they're finding their groove a little bit, and let's just let this thing play out. We just got to let it play out.
I think we're ready to go, right?
Does that need to be on the air?
Well, I think one of the fans here at the brewery brought up that Mankato beat number 59 St. Thomas only 3-2 2 weeks ago. That just drives home the point, obviously, any given night. Lots of opportunity, and a one game and done. I mean, obviously...
Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. That's right. Try to stick around to the third period, right? Mm. I mean, if you're in the game going to the third period, you got a chance, that's for sure.
I'd be all right with one of the Sillingers or maybe Matias climbing the glass.
In Mankato?
In Mankato, sure.
Oh, it'd be nice to... When you got up 4-1, was it pretty quiet in Houghton?
I don't remember. Become
crickets?
I will give them this. Their fans don't leave early. They were all still there until the buzzer.
That's cool. Even though it was clearly over.
So do you think Michigan Tech is in the national tournament?
I do.
Their fans are ready to jump off a cliff.
Well, I think they've had a good season, but yeah.
No, they don't want us to win. You know, right. Joe's nervous about that, but I think they're in. Because the Big Ten's automatically, they're going to have somebody who's an at-large going to get in, Minnesota or Michigan. The NCHC, all four teams are in. So even if I think, and I'm not saying I have this down because I'm no guru when it comes to the pairwise, but, I mean, Atlantic Hockey, yeah, I think they're in.
It's hard not to.
I think they're in. Yeah. I just think they're in. I think they're in. And you know what? And the only reason I say that, there's some of my peers who know their stuff said they're pretty much in. But maybe, hey, maybe something happens and they're not, and we could be sitting here. So I don't know. But well, if I'm in Joe's shoes, I'm feeling the same way. Like you're never overly confident when you're relying on somebody else to dictate your terms. But I also they are 12. So I think they're all right, but
unless
what do I
know?
Unless
there's big upsets, right? I mean,
if there's big upsets, I think they're safe. I think
yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I think, but I don't know. You know, I mean, what does it say? What does the pairwise finder thing say? I mean, those are pretty accurate. I thought it was a 99 point something or something. I don't know.
I don't know all these new websites. I can't ever find out where they keep stuff anymore. Michigan Tech is 12. UMass Lowell 13, Northeastern 14, Ohio State 15, Clarkson 16.
Well, that's
your
the thing, because right. Like Northeastern or UMass Lowell are going to beat each other. So then one of them is going to stay or go lower. So, man, if one of them moves up, well, they're going to be in the tournament as a. Anyway, probably is what I'm getting at. That's what I think, again, I think it's difficult for them to fall, is all I'm getting at. I think it's difficult for them to fall.
Well, there aren't as many potentials for upsets, knocking teams.
Well, there is, though. I mean, there's four leagues that are.
Right, but...
Hockey East is, CCHA is, the Atlantic Hockey is, and the Hockey East. I mean, they say Hockey East twice, or the ECAC. So, but if it was, even if that happens, they're at 12.
Which gets you to 16.
Right. If there's four upsets, which is highly unusual, but... They'd still be safe.
Now, could they? Could they? Could something happen where they could go to 13? Maybe that could be the million. You know, that's a million-dollar question. Some of the gurus I know that say they think they're pretty safe, but who knows? I don't know.
I don't mean this in a way of any way about the game coming up on Saturday. But Minnesota State's a one seed, even if they lose, aren't they?
I have no idea. I would think so. They're kind of like they're up there. I
think they would have been a one seed had they lost last week.
Agree. Well, yeah, they're pretty solid at number one right now.
You got to let the computer do the work.
Yeah.
I mean pairwise finders are, it's pretty good. Travis does it all the time.
Need to do.
Yeah.
Win.
Exactly.
Just win. Tom, best of luck.
All right. Thanks, guys.
And again, great idea coming here. The Beaver Radio Network will travel to Mankato on Saturday. Our Budweiser pregame show at 5:30. Face-off at 6:07. You can listen in, as always, at beaverradionetwork.com. We have one last break to get to. We'll wrap things up here from Bemidji Brewing next, right here on the Beaver Radio Network.
The Huddle at the Tavern on the South Shore. The Huddle is the Beaver Radio Network on WMIS-FM, The River.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog, because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment, made to chill.
2021 Coors Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
It's never too early to consider your goals and refine your vision for retirement. I'm Alan Zutz, a financial advisor with Thrivent, and we're here to help you create a strategy that reflects your priorities. We can help you assess your needs and determine the next steps for your unique situation. Call Alan, Sandra, or Rice at 218-444-0202 to get started. That's Alan Zutz, Thrivent Financial, 218-444-0202.
Hi, Dan the GM Man here. Today's world is fast and furious, and people are relying more and more on the internet for answers. At Donlinger of Bemidji, we understand and are here for you. And our website is designed to help you with just that. We want to get you the information before you take that next important step. You can take an interactive tour of our inventory, get a quote, schedule an appointment, apply for financing, and even get your trading value with us on your mobile phone. All at the touch of your fingertips. DonlingerBemidji.com. Chevy, find new roads.
At Jimmy John's, we don't make sandwiches. We make the sandwich of sandwiches. We use fresh veggies because we don't hate salads. We just feel bad for them. We make our sandwiches exactly how you want, because you're the one who's eating it. And we bake bread all day, every day, because stale bread isn't bread. It's croutons. Sandwich history is written by the victors. Good thing we have legible handwriting. Jimmy John's, the sandwich of sandwiches. Order pickup or delivery on the app.
Welcome back to Bemidji Brewing, Tom Ceratori Show here on the Beaver Radio Network. In the tavern had a lot of reservations for Globetrotters fans tonight, so we called up Tom last night. I said,
where do you want to go?
Tom, either no show or come in studio. Because at 6 o'clock last night, I wasn't banking on somebody saying yes. And literally by 6:15... Bemidji Brewing said, oh, yeah, absolutely. We'll have a table for you. Power. Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
So, certainly appreciate the flexibility. And if you are going to the Globetrotters tonight, stop by the tavern afterwards and get some Bemidji Brewing on tap. They have it there.
That's right. They do.
Normally, miss this time of year, I am ready for baseball season to start and let's get the snow melted and put winter away. Winning three straight elimination games just makes me say I don't know if I'm ready to be done with winter yet.
I hear you. I mean, I'm okay with getting rid of winter. Doesn't mean hockey has to end. You know, it's always kind of that time of year when, you know, the excitement about the postseason, plus it starts to get way better weather-wise. Today's the nicest day of the year by far. It isn't even remotely close. It's just exciting. I think there's excitement in the air. There's positivity in the air because it is the doldrums of a pretty long winter, maybe in the rearview mirror. Of course, the Beavers playing in a championship game for the first time since they went to the Frozen Four. Let's reiterate that. It has been a long time.
That tells you how hard it is.
And they've had really good teams. I mean, remember the 2020 team that unfortunately never got to go to the national tournament because they were going. Was still in second place to the Mavericks. And
we're going to have to beat Bowling Green in a three-game slugfest.
Yeah, and it would have been a slugfest. And then, of course, last year the team gets an abbreviated all-weird conference schedule, some non-conference, but playing basically everybody in the CCHA, and that's it because of COVID and all of that. And then they get to the national tournament because they played well. And then
and it didn't feel anything like the national tournament.
No, but they had a huge win against Wisconsin, obviously. One win away from the Frozen All Minnesota, Frozen Four. And, of course, who do they lose to? In BSU tradition, man, if they get beat, it's usually by the national champs.
Yeah.
It happened against Denver. It happened against Wisconsin. Happened against should have happened against Miami. It was their fault they didn't win the national championship that year. But last year, Massachusetts did it to the Beavs and then went on to do it to everybody else. But it's exciting time of the year, hopefully. I mean, Mankato has not been kind, as you well know, Brian.
I do not want to hear ole, ole, ole at all.
you know, you just got to think the odds are in their favor sometimes. I mean, they've not had much luck down at, what is it, the Mayo Clinic place now or whatever?
Mayo Clinic Events Center something.
They've struggled
Mayo
there.
Mayo Clinic Health Systems Event Center. There we go.
Has something to do with the team that plays there. But, boy, if there was ever a time that Bemidji State could beat them, it would be now because they are on a roll and they've got one of the best lines, if not the best line in their program history.
I'll take another 8 points by the Sillingers and Alex Iarullo this weekend, please. Budweiser pregame show, 5:30, faceoff 6:07, Saturday night right here on the Beaver Radio Network. Info online, beaverradionetwork.com. Good night, everyone.
WMIS-FM, The River, 92.1, Black Duck, Bemidji.
I still can't even hardly believe my ears when you even tell me this.
Translator, K2NFJ, 95.3, Thief River Falls, and W100BP079, Grand Rapids.
Now this I love.
Northern Minnesota's rock station.